Well, brother, let me bless you. I was just thinking, I'm going to tell Laura something afterwards, that everyone was very welcoming and sweet to just, people made efforts and were very kind, so you did, brother. Thank you for that, and bless you all for your kindness. I was very blessed to be here this morning. Thank you for that little open mic time also. Oh, just blessed to hear some of your hearts and see some of what is stirring in your mind. Last night we were actually up at Harmony. They have their Youth Inspiration Weekend, and we went up there, and I talked with a brother up there and just asked him, so brother, we were talking just a little bit, he was about to leave, and I said, brother, give me one little word of counsel, one little something you've been meditating on, you know, just give me a little nugget here before you part. And he didn't hesitate 2 seconds. He said, brother, I've been meditating, and he flipped open his Bible and he shared something with me. And it's not so much what he shared, but his instant response. He had something on his heart. He had something he'd been meditating on, and he had something to share with me, and he meant it. He didn't share it in a dull way. He shared it in a very excited way, and it just blessed my heart. Here's a brother. He's been meditating on the Word, and he had something stirring in there. And so it's just blessed. I was blessed to hear you all also as the opportunity arises and you share things that are going on in your heart and your mind. You know, brothers and sisters, I love the Christian life. It is a fight. It is a battle. It is a race. All these words we find in the Word of God, and it's a struggle, and it's, you know, all these things. I can paint all these difficult words in one sense, but on the other hand, it is the thrill of my life. It is fulfillment. It is excitement. As you make another little step forward and another little climb, or you get another little vista of the beauty of what Christ has for us, and what this glorious opportunity to be a child of God is. So I was blessed to see as some fellow climbers, some fellow pursuers, earnestly pursuing this morning. And I want to bless you all and am excited to get to share what I have to share here this morning, because it's very real to me. It's very something I'm meditating on close to my heart this morning. The past, well, it's been off and on over the years, and right now it's on the on. Because I have so far to go, and I have so much higher ground to claim, and that's why I'm churning, I'm meditating, I'm praying, I'm beseeching the Lord. Because I see there's so much more to be had. But the little bit that I have gained is so precious, it just motivates me on. In one sense, I'm just going to skim the surface. I wrestled with what to say. I had lots of different aspects and avenues and was trying to figure out which one to use and which thing to share, because I'm almost overwhelmed with the size and the of what I have to say here this morning. But I'm going to title it a confusing title, you might say, but you'll understand it. If you open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, I was blessed the opening. I thought maybe he was going to say some of what I was going to say this morning. Bless you, brother, for sharing hope and faith. But you didn't quite touch on it. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to pull out our text here. And the title, as I mentioned, I guess I didn't mention, I'll give it, is Our Glorious Earnest. Our Glorious Earnest. And I realize that word earnest we're going to see here in Ephesians, and it's a beautiful principle. It's not a normal word we use these days. I wouldn't use it anyway. If you're going to buy a house and you go to an auction, and they say you need to have what's common percentage? 10%. 10% down at the auction before you leave the auction, right? Never bought a house at an auction. Never bought a house. But you have to have 10% before you leave the auction. And that is your earnest money. deposit, down payment. There's a lot of different words that we use for that. But here in the King James here, we have the word earnest. But that's what it is. It's a small portion that shows a commitment for more to come. Did you get that? It's a small portion that shows a commitment for more to come. So our glorious earnest. We've been given an earnest, and we're going to see in the scriptures, a beautiful, glorious earnest. And this is the picture I have in my, I'm getting ahead of myself. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And I'm just going to jump in. Let's jump in at verse 12. I know we're jumping into a heavy duty chapter. Beautiful. And we're going to go in, pull a couple of verses and hop back out, so to speak. So, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. So Paul's talking. You also, Ephesians, you trusted in Christ after that ye heard of the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians, all of you dear brothers at Ephesus, you also followed along and you believed. This, for the glory of Christ, you also trusted in Christ. After you heard the word of truth and the gospel of salvation, Ephesians, you church there, you believed that. And then you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And that's why, brother, when you asked what, I don't remember the terms you used, comes, what is the Christian life, what comes with it? And I said something about the promise of the Spirit. That's what I've been meditating on. With that Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14, which is the, and then our little word, earnest of our inheritance. And you used that this morning also. What is our inheritance? That's right. You used something like that. And I thought, is he going to talk about the earnest of our inheritance? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Ephesians, you have believed. You've been given the Holy Spirit of promise. And this Holy Spirit of promise that you've been given is the earnest of an inheritance that is yet to come. Hallelujah! Here's the picture I get. God, in the vastness of, thank you, brother, for that picture. I love that picture. The picture of the stars and light years and the vastness and bigness. Excuse my poor terminology, but bigness of God. Incomprehensible bigness. I love those pictures there of who He is. And so God, in His vastness, in His eternalness, in all of eternity, He says, I'm going to take a slice of that eternalness. It's just a portion. It's just a down payment. It's just a deposit of that which is to come for you all as my children. But I'm going to take a portion of this, a portion of heaven, a portion of my eternalness, God says, and I'm going to give you an earnest. God within my heart, Brother Nathan. And I'm going to say, here, take this. Son, daughter, someday you're going to be around that throne. And it's going to be glory. And now I'm really getting ahead of myself. But right now, I'm giving you a little down payment. Brothers and sisters, should that not give us faith and hope? We have the Almighty God of the universe saying, I'm giving you a small down payment, an earnest of that with which is to come, of myself. And here, take this. Remember, the longing heart of God. Remember the little snapshots. I'm going to give you just a few little snapshots of the longing heart of God for His people. Remember, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I just see our Father and it is His pleasure. Oh, I want to give You the kingdom. We pray, may Thy kingdom come. And God is sitting up there just longing to give us the kingdom. I feel that sometimes we talk about having a wrong picture of God with a big stick. I think it's better to picture God with a big bucket of blessings. And He's sitting up there and He's saying, oh, it's My pleasure. You know, that's what I want to do. Sure, He has to use His stick discipline, and we need that. But in those big bucket of blessings, sometimes are sticks, but we need to remember it's blessings. Thank you, brother. Children's lesson. It is the Father's good pleasure. I want to give it to you. As a hen would gather her chicks. Remember Jesus said that as He was looking over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would, I long, I wish. His heart, Jesus' heart was longing. Why? Because He wanted to give them a blessing. He wanted to gather them as a hen. Come, 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 come. It's the Father's heart. He says, Jesus said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll beat you over the head and cause all sorts of problems for you and make it hard for you. No. I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. Yoke? Yeah. It's a yoke. And I don't mean to take away the yoke. Take up My cross, Jesus said. But we're looking at this aspect here right now. Come. I want to give it to you. He's not willing that any should perish. The dear young man that, as you shared, brother, whose life passed away. My father also mentioned that to us last weekend on Sunday. Didn't, as far as we know, you said it well, brother, as far as we know, he wasn't ready. Jesus didn't want that. God didn't want it that way. He is not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want any to perish. But remember, Jesus also said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place. And Jesus went, is preparing. I don't know how God works in time. I'm not sure what tense to use sometimes when I'm talking about God. Is preparing a place. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. But disciples, where I'm going to go, you can't come. You can't come yet. I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare. But do you know what, brothers and sisters? He's given us a deposit. That longing heart of God, I think He has a longing. It's beautiful in His sight is the death of His saints. I didn't quote that right. Remember that verse? It's beautiful because they come to Him. They get the fullness of the kingdom. And I'm trying to, and so do you see the picture here? The picture is our Father longs for His pure, holy bride to come, for His Son to come and be with Him. And He's longing for that. But He says, wait, wait. I want you still on planet Earth yet. Just wait. I'm going to prepare, and I want you to be here on planet Earth, and you can't have it all yet. I'm going to prepare the all, but you can't have it all yet. But I'm going to give you the earnest of the Spirit. Okay? See the same word here? It's the picture that comes to my heart. Just wait. I long to give you so much, is the heart that I see in our Father. But wait, you can't have it all now. You can't come to where I am. I want you on planet Earth yet. And we're not going to dig into why. I think there's many reasons why He wants us left here. But He's preparing a place. And so if the earnest of the Spirit is a small down payment, a small deposit and promise of more to come, to get a little picture of what this deposit is that we're given, what is this that is to come? Meditate with me just a little bit on what it is that is to come. And we don't know what is to come. But would you just meditate with me on, we'll be back to Ephesians possibly, but Revelation chapter 4. If this is an earnest of what the Father's longing heart is to give us, and this is a small portion of more that is to come, what is more to come? And I don't know how to paint this picture, but look with me at the way John tried to paint a little bit of the picture in the book he wrote, The Revelation of Jesus Christ, in chapter 4. John says, after this, I looked, and I'm just going to jump over some verses. We're going to be in Revelation 4 and in 21. And I want to just paint us a little picture of the glories of heaven, what it is around the throne. After this, because remember, we get a portion of that earnest, our glorious earnest, now. So, Revelation chapter 4, John says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. I love that verse. What would it be like? It's if each of us, on the way here, we're driving along, and the clouds rolled back, we say, and we got a little peek into this throne room. And we would have gotten to see it like John saw it. So be careful I don't get carried away with this, because how do you think we would have conducted ourselves coming in here? Think there would have been a hush and an, oh, brother, did you see what I saw? What is that? What's going on? There would have been a holy hush, I believe, over our hearts. If the clouds would have rolled back like John was able, a door was opened and he peeked in. No, he didn't just peek. He got more than that. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet, and it said, come up hither and I'll show you things which must be hereafter. And John got to go through that door early. Right? Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place, but not yet. You stay, and I'm going to give you an earnest, a down payment, a little bit of what is to come. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, one that sat on the throne. And he sat, and he that sat was to look upon like. And if you read Revelations, you find that we were just talking about that with our boys, right? Boys last night. It was, or maybe it was this morning. Like unto. Like, because John didn't know how to explain this. And so he tried to say what he saw, and he said it was like this. It wasn't that maybe, but it was kind of like this. And so in the best of his human ability and language, he said it was like, and then he paints a picture. Like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 elders, as you just see this glorious picture of this throne, glowing, shining forth. Light seems to be kind of a central theme. Just light bursting forth. A rainbow round about the throne in the sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats were 24 elders, clothed with white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And we go on and it talks about the beasts. And sometimes the term beast we tend to think, is it that beast? You know, it's ugly. No, he was just saying this is a living being, is what he was saying with this beast. And this was being was these beings were full of eyes. They could see everything. Nothing missed their gaze. You didn't accidentally miss anything. And this was round about the throne, these beasts. And one was like a lion, another a calf, another of a man, another a flying eagle. There's power, there's ability, there's sight, there's everything is there. It's just maximizing everything to the nth degree that our human minds can comprehend. And the 24 elders fall down that sat on the, to him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And we just get a little tiny picture into the glories of eternity. And there's worship. And remember, this was not forced worship. This was not, yeah, we got to do this again. No. They fell because their hearts were engaged. Their whole beings were engaged. And they just wanted to cry, worthy. And God was in the center. Shining. Beaming. God was all in all. No darkness. No shadows. No problems. In Revelation 21, we find just a little bit more picture. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I'm just trying to get a grasp of the eternity things that are beyond our normal eyesight. I'm not trying to paint any or any theological standing here necessarily, but a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, and I, John, saw the holy city. I saw it! John says, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. It was beautiful. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The ultimate of glories of heaven is God with us and us with God. That's the ultimate. What's the down payment? The Holy Spirit of promise in me. Christ in me and me in Christ. Right? So we're getting, do you see the picture? The ultimate glories of eternity, and yet we get a slice of the earnest of our inheritance now. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more sadness. None. No more worry. None. No more problems. You put all the practical things in our lives. I know there are problems, difficulties, all sorts of things that we face in different. None. Gone. No crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. No pain. For the former things are passed away. It's glorious. And then remember the center theme. And he that sat upon the throne. That's the center. That's eternity. Said, behold, I make all things new. We like new things. Old things are worn out. They're not as ugly. Don't work as good. New. All things new. And you know what? 50 trillion years later, they're still new. Okay, there's not 50 trillion years, but I don't know how else to communicate that fact to us humans. 50 trillion years later, they're still brand new. And the newness and freshness of eating of the fruit of the tree that grows like unto a tree that had like unto, okay, like, that had 10 different fruits growing on the tree, and the sweetness, we talked about it with our boys, was it just this morning? Well, there won't be any, and one of my boys, I think, said hunger, there won't be any hunger there. And I said, well, maybe not, and yet there are trees. So is sometimes hunger good? There won't be any bad hunger. But maybe there will be a good hunger, because then when you taste, eat something, well, he says like unto. So we don't even know if we're going to actually eat real fruit. We grasp at straws. I mean, we just struggle to figure out what this is going to be like. But the freshness and newness of the first bite, the second one is just as good. And the 15th and the 16th thousands, all things are new. I don't know how to paint this picture here. No more sorrowing, no more. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Verse 8, chapter 21, verse 8. Fearful? Gone. No more fear. Zero! Unbelieving? None. Abominable? It's not there. Murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars. We have a mess in the world we live in. We live in a mess. Gone. None of it. Perfect. Beautiful. And the one on the throne shines. And we worship. Not because we have to, but because we want to. It's what just flows out of us. No problems, no struggles, no nothing bad. All glory. Verse 9, the end of verse 9, an angel comes. Angels are there. And he says, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Brothers and sisters, who's the bride, the Lamb's wife? That's the church. That's me and you. That's us. So what's it going to be? He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto. He didn't know what it really was. It was just like unto, trying to put it in earthly terms. A stone most precious, like jasper stone, clear as crystal. Stone? Clear? How's all this work? Shining? had a wall great and high, and we could go on. The city lieth four square, and he talked about measuring it, and then all these stones, verses 19, 20, 21. I don't know for sure what all these stones meant. Verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. One gate, one pearl, seems like. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold as it was transparent glass. Is gold transparent? No. But it was gold, but it was like transparent glass. He was grasping at what it was this like. Glorious. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And it goes on, and the gates of it shall not be shut all day, and there will be no night there. You don't need to rest because we don't get tired. Okay, that's enough. God says, I want you there. But wait. I'm going to take a slice of this, an earnest, and I'm going to give it to you. And you are going to take an earnest, a slice of all this that is waiting on you. And you're going to live in the midst of this filthy, wretched world. Mess, sin abounds. And this slice of this eternity, I want you. And we're not going to dig into that. I think there are deep reasons there. I think God is wanting to manifest His glory to the principalities and powers. Ephesians 3, 10 and 11. There's a little key in there that I'm chewing on also. He wants us to be a display. But anyway, the point is, we get a little bit of that here on planet Earth. As I go and pound nails. Or I push keyboards, buttons. Or tonight as I eat popcorn with my children. We like to do that on Sunday night. Our children are looking forward to it. Maybe we'll play a game. Maybe we'll, who knows what. But as I do the daily grind, the everyday things that I do, my Father is saying, Son, I have an earnest. The earnest of my spirit is for you in those times. In my everyday things. Is that not exciting? Is that not beautiful? As I go through my everyday life. And yes, I don't mean to take away when I get on my knees, when I get up in the morning and I open the Word, when I sit with in family devotions, when I get an opportunity, young man there at he's not in the same, not the same, doesn't work for the same business I do, but it's the same premise there at Brother Lawrence's shop. His life is a mess. And I've gotten to connect with him a little bit, given him a little booklet to read, talk with him, and it's a mess. Lord, as I talk with him, I get a little bit of this earnest, and I'm trusting it's in me, and I'm living in it. And as I speak to him, if this earnest that is mine to be had is in me, moving, living, Christ in me, me in Christ, and it's a huge subject when you look at the Word, but if it's there, then as I speak, I, to this man, I get to be a co-laborer with him. A co-laborer with the God of heaven? Yes. He's given me the earnest of the Spirit. And as I walk through life, I get to be a co-laborer. I have a little bit of that. A down payment. I have a deposit. I share this. Brothers and sisters, can we get excited about life? This is what we get to do this next week. Now I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I'm going to stick it in here because it may not later. How does it say of Jesus? He gave not the Spirit unto him by measure. There was something that Jesus didn't have just a measure. And I don't know what that means in light of the whole thing. He was still on earth, so he didn't have the whole thing. And yet the Spirit that he had was not by measure. You study that one out and help me understand that. But he had the full thing. I believe, and I may not be using my illustrations right, so bear with me if I'm not, but I believe I've a little bit seen God work a little bit. I've seen him change me a little bit. I've seen him use me a little bit. But I see vistas out ahead. The glories of what this down payment, this earnest, our glorious earnest, if I would walk in the full potential of what this glorious earnest could do in me. I want to read Ephesians 1 again, and then we'll go to 2 Corinthians where we find this same word. Just go back if you had your finger there or never closed. Remember, earnest, I'm just going to read these verses again and meditate on them just a little bit before we go on. In whom ye also trusted, Ephesians, you trusted him. Brothers and sisters, have you trusted him? There are conditions to this earnest, and we don't have time to delve into that very much today, so I'm not going to go into that a lot. But there are conditions to this earnest of our inheritance. In whom ye also trusted. Do you trust him? That's a condition. Trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, trusted, believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. It's a bit of a burden of mine that if we aren't careful, we tend to go in ditches. We don't want the ditch of the Pentecostalism that talks about being filled with the Spirit, that talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and they live unholy lives. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not what I'm talking about. And again, hopefully we'll get into that a little more. But the tendency is we come flying from this air of this ditch, and it's easy to come flying into the other ditch and to forget there's power to revolution our lives available, to revolution our mindsets. Being filled with the Spirit is not an error doctrine. It's a Bible doctrine. Being full of the Holy Ghost and fire, I am getting ahead of myself, is not an error ditch. It is a biblical road. Now people take it and thwart it. But I want us to meditate on the real thing. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We find this earnest here also. Oops. I think the tendency can be we can react to emotionalism. We can react to the big things that happen and the flares and the flings and all of that. And then we just come over here and say, well, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing and I'm going to be faithful. You know, just same old, same old. And we need faithfulness. Now that sounds, if I'm negative on that, I don't mean to be negative on that. But the tendency can be to just plod through life without changing power happening in us and through us. But that's not what he means to happen in us. 2 Corinthians. He means for this earnest to mean something, to change something, to be something to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us. Now he's talking to another church. Not Ephesus, not the Ephesians, but Corinth, the Corinthians. And he's saying, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but it was yea. Verse 24, all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen unto the glory of God by us. Now he, do I have the wrong place? 1:19. There we go, 22, I'm sorry. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us, there's anointed. We're not going to necessarily use that word a lot, but that word, we heard sealed in Ephesians. Here we have anointed, and it's connected with the same thing. Anointed us is God, who hath also sealed, here it is again, us, and we're not going to delve into that, but just let's go on, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Corinthians, you also received Jesus. You also believed when we preached Jesus unto you. And I believe we could go into that too. We're not going to. When Jesus says, I will come unto you, he's talking about Jesus coming, Christ in us, the Spirit of God in us. It's all the same thing. And there's different aspects and things to learn there that we're not going to dive into. But here he's saying, has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Corinthians, you also have this earnest. And it's been given to you. And it's a down payment of the glorious more that is to come. Go on to chapter 5, verse 5. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. He that hath wrought in us hath given unto us, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. He made us for a purpose, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So I don't have the whole thing. I've been given the earnest of the Spirit, Paul says. But there's actually an absentness also, because I don't have the whole thing. For we walk by faith, not by sight. This earnest, this little down payment, that we get a slice of the eternal that is ours as his children. He wants it. He wants to be in us, moving in us, working in us. Is the major glorious difference from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Is a major glorious difference. From the Old Testament to the New Testament. Christ in us. I already mentioned this verse. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. You don't need to turn there. You know it. He shall baptize you. I'll just say it. John came preaching in the wilderness. And he was saying, I'm baptizing you with a baptism of repentance. But there's one who's coming after me who's mightier than me. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John's saying something is coming that is much, much better than what I'm preaching. And when he preaches, and when he comes, he won't just baptize with repentance only. He'll baptize with the Holy Ghost. That earnest of the Spirit will be yours. And look just briefly with me at Hebrews 11. Or listen, Hebrews 11:13 says, these all, talking about these men of faith, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Sorry, Abraham. Sorry, Seth, Abel, Enoch, Noah. Sorry. You saw the promises. By faith, they saw something. They didn't have the whole thing. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. And also, Hebrews 11:39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, but having God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Okay, I'd use that just to show the picture. Brothers and sisters, this is not a small thing. It wasn't always this way. Through Christ Jesus, we're put into a place where God says, I call you a son. I call you a daughter. And I'll give you a slice, an earnest, a down payment that you can walk with. Just the other night, Laura and I got on our knees. The children were put to bed, and we had a situation before us, and we talked about something there, and I wasn't sure what to do. And so I said, let's pray. So we got down on our knees, and we started to pray. And from the depths of my heart, I said, God, would you please help this situation? Just, God, please. And you know what? kind of anticlimactic, but God did. The situation's not fixed. But in our own hearts, the Spirit of God did a little work. In our hearts. And it took us a step. Yeah, just one little step. But it took us a step. What is that? That's the Spirit of God working in our hearts. Let's look at Jesus. I want to use Jesus' life as an illustration of anointing. I don't understand this all. We're going to go to Luke chapter 3. Forgive me, I've made you jump around a bit. Go to Luke chapter 3 and 4. We're going to look at our Lord Jesus as an example. And I don't understand for sure how to theologically categorize all this. So forgive me if I overstep someone's bounds just a little bit here. But I think we see in our Lord Jesus an example. He is our example. He came here to earth. And he lived his life. And we look to him and we follow him. In his example. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, this is John the Baptist baptizing here. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized. We remember the story here in Luke. It doesn't tell as many details. But Jesus came to John and said, John, you know, baptize me. And John said, I want a baptism from you. Why are you asking me to baptize you? And Jesus said, John, just do it. Okay? Just do it, John. And he was baptized, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And I believe here's a picture for us of this earnest that God is talking about. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased. Here's the picture. Our Lord Jesus, in his physical body, got the same thing that we can get. He got this earnest. He had to leave his throne in glory. All the majesty and glory that he was a part of. And we know the Philippians there where his down. Philippians where he took the 7 steps downward and became a man and died. He took all that down. He laid aside the 100%. And he came and was a human and lived here on earth with only the earnest. He did it. We can too. And here we see, I believe, the picture of this earnest upon our Lord Jesus. And now I want us to look at what I'm going to divide it two ways. You can divide it different ways. I'm going to divide it two ways. Results of this earnest. Two things. What is the first thing that happened in chapter 4? What is the first thing that happened after he was given this earnest? What happened? Because the rest of chapter 3 is genealogies. Beginning of chapter 4 says what? What happened? He was tempted. He was tempted. Lord, the earnest of the Spirit. Isn't this to be glorious? To give us power? It is. But he was disciplined, children. Right? He learned, I don't understand this verse either. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Our Lord Jesus, our perfect example, learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So the glories of this earnest coming to our Lord Jesus, and again, put it back on us. As we go through these principles here in Jesus' life, I want to take it back to us. The earnest of the Spirit, after it came upon Jesus, the first thing we have recorded in Luke here is temptation, difficulty, problems. But you know what? He wasn't given this temptation. I'm sure he had temptations, but in our picture here, he wasn't given these heavy-duty temptations until he had the earnest of the Spirit in the picture that I believe God painted for us here. Number one, I believe the earnest of the Spirit is for power for a holy life. That's what this earnest of the Spirit is for. It's power to live a holy life. Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy is the word that is used in eternity to best describe our God with human language. And He's given us a slice of that. And the earnest of that for us. The power to live a holy life. Here we have our Lord Jesus, anointing and now temptation. He was in hunger in chapter 4. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Physical needs and desires are temptations that are going to come at us. He needed food, but there was something about who was bringing it before Him. There was something about the setting. And Jesus knew, no. Remember Paul said, all things expedient. Someone help me with that verse. Is it lawful to eat bread? But Jesus knew, it's not right right now. It's not right. And brothers, we need that also. It's going to take the power of the Spirit of God to revolutionize these physical sight, feel bodies, to revolutionize the way we view and walk through and see this life. It needs to change the way we see, to change the way we think, to change the way things look to us through this Holy Spirit of promise, through this earnest. And then we can look at bread when it's coming from the enemy and say, no, it's not for me. Can't do it. The power to live a holy life and change the way I don't know how to emphasize that word. I'm so thankful at changes that have happened in me. Different concepts. Desire different things. Want different things. Because of God. Not Mickey. And I know you know that also. Where our desires, our motives, our... and these physical things. He also said, I'll give you power. And Jesus said, no, Satan, no way. I will not let pride in my life for anything. And our Jesus had the power to say, no, I'm not going there. And He lived a holy life. We also need the earnest of the Spirit in us to look at opportunities and position and all of those things and say, no, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to be concerned about me, my reputation, who I am, who I think people think I am, and all those facets of self-centeredness. That's what this earnest is for. It's for holiness. And when I see a lack of that in my life, the answer is still available. That earnest, that slice is big enough for us, brothers and sisters. There's enough there for us to live in this debauched world and society. But do it in a holy way. Because this earnest is available for us. Jesus also was tempted. His third one was, he said, I won't tempt the Lord my God. Don't tempt Him. Don't stalk your faith in things that's just outside of God's heart. Don't get caught up in things that aren't really what is on the heart of God, and it becomes self-centered, and you do things for yourself, and you do foolish things. Jesus could say, no, I'm not going there. The one aspect of this and reason for this glorious earnest in my life and in your life is for holiness. It's right here to change this and make it a beautiful vessel for our Lord. And so, when we see something that's a little bit dirty, or we see something, I missed the mark, we can get excited. God, you have given, there is enough available for me to not continue here. There's enough available for me to live and conquer and live above and go on in holiness. That's exciting. Especially when you've walked with God long enough to realize the things that pull me down, that draw my desires and lusts and pride and self, when you realize those things are bondage anyway, and the more I can get rid of them, the more I can hack them out, the better it is anyway. So the more dirt I can see, the more excited I can be. Not because I'm excited about the dirt, but I know there's an answer and there's power to live above it. It's common for the aspect of Christ's death and resurrection to be lifted up as the answer to past sin. That's common. That's very common even in what is termed Christendom around us. The cleansing power of the blood of Christ for past sin. Already committed sin. But that's only a portion of true Christianity. The earnest of the Spirit, the down payment, the deposit that is to be in my life is also power to deal with, quote, future sin. So that I don't do it. And change me and revolutionize me and make me truly holy. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that glorious, I always keep thinking deposit in other words, that glorious earnest. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, are we availing ourselves of this earnest? Are we? Are you in your life? Are we as brotherhoods availing ourselves of this earnest that revolutionizes the way we think and look at life and gives us power and gives us abilities that we don't normally have? And I know it has in your life, but let's be excited about the potential that it could do more through this glorious, our glorious earnest. Number two, after Jesus says in chapter 4, we're still in Luke chapter 4, back in verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That was the first thing that happened. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. We go down to verse 13. And when the devil ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So we have Jesus anointing. Then we have his temptation. And I believe, again, it's helping us realize the power of the Spirit is for holiness. Then number two, we have a second thing here. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Verse 4, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. This is the result of a life that has the earnest in and upon it. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Why? And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And go to verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom. Just note that. Okay? Doing something normal. He went to Nazareth to do something normal. As was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. I almost get the feeling, and it almost looks to me like this was his custom. Go into the Sabbath, stand up to read. Still normal. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. And he started to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recover sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And remember, it seems like it was his custom, but he stood up and he read this time, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down and what? The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Why? Why? And he began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This number two aspect of the Spirit, I believe, has to do with when we relate to others. And I titled it, Power to Preach. But when I talk about preach, I hesitate to use that word because I don't just mean doing what I'm doing right now. It's my contact with others. It's the channel. Channels only, Blessed Master. This is the second thing that it majorly affected in Jesus' life. And again, I feel like there's tremendous depth in each of these we could dig, but I'm just going to go through the surface. Over the surface here. But this is the second thing that it majorly affected. Brothers and sisters, he wants the earnest of the Spirit to be upon our lives so that we can be co-laborers with him also. It's to change me as a person. It's to change us as the people of God. But it's also power so that I can truly be a channel. And when I talk with a brother and he talks with me, there's ministry that can happen. And I talk with that man that I mentioned at work and he shares about his mess in life. I can be praying, God, minister through me. I remember in Zanzibar so many times we felt like we're sowing seeds on concrete. Lord, we sowed some more seeds and they turned us away. We sowed some more seeds and they just don't get earth to grow. Devil comes along and eats them. The side path, remember? The sower went forth to sow. Some fell on the wayside, on the path there. We cried out and said, God, it feels like this so, so often. And our prayer was, and we would use many different avenues and ways to try to talk and communicate. And you can go from using the arguing some of their problems, or you can try to get on common ground and why don't you believe the Gospels. And there's so many different ways you can communicate with these dear Muslim people. And we came back to many times, yes, there's a lot of different ways, but the bottom line is we're going to share truth and we're going to beg the Spirit of God to be in us and on us enough that the Spirit of the Lord can be upon us so that as we preach and we say, this is truth, something will resonate in their heart. He's right. He's right. That's another work of this earnest that's given to us, brothers and sisters. It's so that as I relate to my children, I'm a channel and grace flows and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me as I communicate and it ministers. As I relate to my wife, as I relate to my husband, as I relate to my brother, if the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, then what I say, who I am, how we communicate, there can be grace. All eyes were fastened on him. Why? The Spirit wasn't given by measure to him. Again, I don't know. I don't have all categorized spiritually. Brothers and sisters, we are to not only be revolutionized ourselves, but to be channels of grace. Channels of the Spirit of God. And this is one of the aspects of this earnest that is to be upon us. And Jesus stood for to read and eyes were upon him. As if it was normal, but this time something was different. There was the Spirit of God ministering through his words coming from our Lord Jesus. And it went right into the hearts. We know these verses. Acts chapter 1. And being assembled, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And God wants me, and he wants you to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Can I say that? And you understand what I mean. I don't mean what some people mean when they say it. I mean what I've been trying to say thus far. Power to live a holy life and power to preach. And take my preach rightly. Some of us will preach in the sense of what I'm doing now. All of us will preach in the sense that I mean. And there's power through this earnest of the Spirit to be in and on our lives so that grace is ministered. Wait till you be endued with power from on high. And when they therefore came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And I wonder if Jesus almost sighed. Restore again the kingdom to Israel? Wait a minute, Peter, John, James, you're still not quite getting it. I think, it doesn't say this, but I think in the back of their minds, they were still looking for an earthly kingdom for Israel. Jesus said unto them, John, Peter, James, Thomas, all of you, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power, but ye shall receive an earnest power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be channels, witnesses, representatives unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the world. When the Spirit, when the earnest is upon in your lives, then you'll be able to accomplish and be carriers of this glorious gospel when you have a slice and earnest of me. Brothers and sisters, what is the earnest of our inheritance? What is it? What is that down payment? That slice of eternity? How does this work out in my life? How does it work out in everyday life? And again, power for a holy life and power for influencing others. Grace to flow through. How much does this affect us? How much does it affect you? How much does it affect me? Oh, God. And remember, it's not just, I'm not talking about a one-time experience. Yes, I think there are some experiences that happen in life, but it's not just a one-time experience. There are experiences in life. Sure. There are times when I feel like God meets with us and blesses us. But it's not just these experiences. It's an everyday life. And times of meeting with God, I don't think we just find it one time. We find the apostles having times of meeting with God over and over where God fills them again, blesses them again, empowers them again. And we need those in our life. I hope I didn't say so much that it's almost confusing, because it feels to me I left about 10 different trails unfollowed. But I hope I can be a blessing to you, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Let's be excited about this earnest that is available to us. There's power to live a holy life, live above sin, walk in purity. Freedom, a slice of this glorious eternity that we will someday be a part of. He gives it to us now, though, this earnest of our inheritance. And also the power to be a channel of grace to others. And I know we've each tasted some of that. I trust we have. Maybe there's some here and all of us that have not. You can. But I know we've each tasted of it. But, oh, brothers, yes, taste and see that the Lord is good and eat more. Let's be excited about our next week, our next month, the future. Lord, I want to get to allow you and the earnest of your Spirit to be in me and fill me more and more and more. And if there's something specific, let's deal with the specifics. Can we pray, oh Father, would you fill us with the Holy Ghost and with fire? Please, Lord, we want to follow in the train of your people. Those torchbearers down through history, we want to be able to carry our part of the torch and be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the earnest of our inheritance. Lord, don't let us get caught up in life, caught up in busyness, caught up in whatever. Oh God, help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness in me and in everyone around me, to the world around me. And display to the principalities and powers and to you and to the world and to your people what lives can be like that truly grasp this earnest. I want to be faithful. Lord, help me to be faithful. And help my dear brothers and sisters here at Ephrata to be faithful. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. For making yourself for us, giving yourself for us, past, present, and future. Amen. Bless you all.
Am I availing myself fully, completely, and perfectly to the glorious earnest that's within myself? I think that's a question that each one of us can ask. I can ask that of myself, and I think each one of us here can ask that question and ponder what that means in a real and in a practical way. One thought I had as you were sharing it, brother, is something that I've been thinking about a little bit recently myself. I was discussing a little bit with my wife as we were coming to church this morning. As we see an example of it on the way, how Galatians 5, 16 and 17, Paul writes, "But this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so ye cannot do the things that ye would." You know, with that earnest that we have within us, that spirit that we have within us, there's a battle going on for supremacy in our lives. You know, is the spirit in control, that earnest that has been deposited in, or is it our flesh? It was like this morning as we were driving in, we were following a vehicle. I don't even know what the cost was of this vehicle. It was a very expensive vehicle. It was a Hummer. Some of you brothers would know what it is. It's an oversized, overbuilt Jeep. Very expensive, very fuel inefficient. And I was like, you know, that person, I don't want to be judgmental of that person, but by the appearances, it was an unnecessary expense, an unnecessary use of resources. But for what reason? It was to feed his flesh. It was to strengthen the flesh. You know, as we go through our life, the things and choices that we make, some choices feed the flesh, and some choices allow the spirit to be in control. Thank you, brother, for inspiring us to live in the spirit and to walk in the spirit. Thank you. Okay, does anyone else have any other things to share here this morning? Word of testimony, confession, commitment? Brother Ed, I'll get a mic to you.
Well, I give a hearty amen to the message. Appreciate it very much. And you know, it's so easy in our day-to-day lives to get caught up in the temporal and get our eyes off the eternal. But God wants us to set our eyes above, not on things in the earth. And I thought of two songs. One was a song years ago. I don't know if you know it or not, but it says, "Things I loved before have passed away. Things I love far more have come to stay. And that's my desires." That's true. And another hymn was, "Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." That's what I want to keep that. Mm-hmm. Here on higher ground, look to what's ahead.
Amen. We can have both faith and hope. Amen. Anyone else? Brother Nathan.
I just want to praise God for the message. I think it speaks to a need in my own heart, and I sometimes find myself, just wrestling through issues and problems, situations that I'm working with, and the Lord's been speaking to me about this, but I just really sense again through this message just the need to depend upon the Holy Spirit and not my own wisdom and trying to find answers, because all the resources are available for every situation, every problem we face. And so I want to take this to heart and learn to more fully walk in the Spirit. Thank you, brother.
Amen. All right, Brother Carl.
Yeah, I too was deeply blessed this morning. That's an essential reminder for each one of us, what we heard here today, because though we, I think, all would claim faith and belief in God and desire to follow Him, we so often overlook and ignore the ministry of the Holy Spirit and all of the resources that are available to us in that. I really appreciated being reminded of that this morning, and I hope we can all take it to heart and be mindful of it as we go through this week. But I also had to think of the connection with what Brother Mike shared and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, too. I was really intrigued with thinking about the difference there of faith and hope. And faith is a choice. Faith is knowing. Faith is believing. And I think faith is, and perhaps this is why in 1 Corinthians 13 they're mentioned in that order. Faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. I think faith probably does come first. Maybe I'm wrong, and if any of you have other thoughts, that'd be an interesting discussion here over a fellowship meal. But I think faith probably comes first as we see God, recognize who He is, and our heart reaches out to believe even when we cannot see. But then I think hope is at least partially the ministry of the Holy Spirit within us that takes that faith and turns it into something that we can see, something that through spiritual eyes we can envision and get a hold of, and it strengthens faith. It gives us that resurgence of will to go on, just like that illustration mm-hmm. Mike shared. Mm-hmm. And then for sure, love flowing through us, as Brother Mickey said, in our everyday relationships, that is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Mm-hmm. And we cannot manufacture that ourselves. We're partners with God in allowing Him to minister to others here on earth through us. And what an exciting thing that is. I praise God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.